Welcome to Design for Voice podcast. Here's a quick highlight from today's episode.
Design a good voice experience, but think how you can have it complemented by your web experience, by your app experience.
In this episode, we'll be talking about how to transfer your knowledge from building UI applications to VUI applications and experiences. My guest today is Neto Marin, and he has more than 15 years of software experience and has been at Google for the past 5 years. He's currently a developer advocate on the Actions on Google team, which helps developers create high-quality actions for the Google Assistant. Neto is also an expert in mobile application development and platforms, and experience in both the startup and corporate environments. All right, let's get to the show. Welcome to Design for Voice. Today's episode, we're going to be taking a look at how to make the transition from building UI applications into the VUI space as well. And my guest today is Neto Marin from Google.
Hey, everyone. I'm Neto Marin. I'm developer advocate here at Google, working on the Actions on Google developer relations team. I had some experience on Android world before. I was developer advocate for 5 years on Android developer relation. But then when I started working with Google Assistant and Actions on Google and all this voice first universe, I just went crazy, let me say like that. And now I'm here to help developers and companies that are interested in creating voice experience for the Google Assistant.
Awesome. Thanks for joining me today. And it's great that you've got this background from web or mobile and are making the leap into personal assistant type applications, because a lot of the technology is very accessible to people with those backgrounds. So I think having that background will really shape this discussion a lot. So I wanted to start off by asking you to help me define the term UI and VUI so that we're on the same page.
Yeah, sure. Well, the UI, specific for mobile, where I have more experience, it's basically where the user can see everything, or at least the person can see the flow that he should take on when he uses the application. So it's almost everything on the screen. You can tap, you can choose to do whatever you can do at that screen. So it's much more in terms of vision. So you are relying on your vision to make decisions about how you should navigate in that app. And when you are talking about voice user interface, it's a little different because you are not exactly seeing everything. You are receiving a lot of information from the action, from the assistance. And then you have to be much more straightforward. You have to be very good on description and also give and offer clear options, so the user can choose, okay, I want to do this thing, or my interaction will be this thing. So it's, I think from my perspective, when we are designing voice user interactions, you have to be more specific and clear about what the user can or can't do.
So when we think about the differences, there's the screen, obviously, with a mobile device or a computer, that's a kind of the major differentiating factor as far as the form. But there are a few other things. Like, what are the other things that you lose by not having that screen?
Yeah, for some point, we have screens. It's not just the visual elements, but to have some cognitive tips in the UI that can help the user navigate. So you can have like a tutorial, or you can offer some visual tip that can the user can identify some a specific action so that it could take. But on the voice, you don't have these tips. You have to be clear, or you have to be prepared to receive unusual inputs or questions that then you drive your action, your app, to do whatever you want to do. So I think we need to rely more on what the user will give to us as input than we can provide to the users. I think this is the difference. We are moving the bar from offering a navigation flow than receiving information and instructions from the user.
Yeah, I think that's another way to maybe look at that is we build mobile apps and screen-based experiences in a way that we are telling the user what to do, versus voice experiences, the user tells us what to do.
Exactly. Exactly. Because it's when you have a screen, you can kind of make a format like driving the user through your experience. And when you have some voice experience, it's the user driving you through what it wants. So it's the, I think this is one of the big difference.
Yeah, and probably everything in the rest of this episode will stem from that distinction. So with like a mobile app, it's a bit more passive for the user. They're the ones just sort of reacting. But in voice role, they're the active participant proactively saying what to do. So yeah, this is probably what most of the discussion will sort of hang on. So if we keep that in mind, I think the rest of this will help clear up a lot of the details as we go through more. I wanted to ask, though, we talked about the differences between UI and VUI, but are there some things that people who build mobile apps already know about design that is applicable for voice design as well?
Yeah, I think the first point is because I'm considering that we are talking with developers that already have their apps published in mobile or web world. So in this case, they already know their users. So they know, for example, or at least they should know what are the most used features or, for example, what feature the users are requesting. And also, and maybe most important, how is the way that user interacts with their app. And this is important because when you are offering a specific feature, maybe it's like, hey, I would like to make it different, but I have these limitations, and then I kind of forcing the user to do on my way. And when we are going to the voice world, imagine like we can't just say, hey, you have to say this phrase exactly as I want, because it will be like voice commands and not voice interface. So I think the developers, they could use their knowledge about the user and the user behavior to help them design the voice interaction when they're moving from word to another word.
Yeah, so knowing your users, I think this is general design knowledge as well, right? You can design an experience, but if you haven't validated that with your users or your customers, then you're probably solving the wrong problem or something that maybe not even a problem. But the better that you know your users, the more likely you are to identify the potential voice-first experiences.
Yeah, because, for example, let's say you have a feature that will allow users to check some loyalty points program. So if you think about the mobile experience, the user had to unlock the phone, find the app, launch the app, probably click on my profile or see my points, and then we will access this information. So, and maybe it's something that user have to do it constantly because it needs to use this balance to buy a ticket or to exchange for something. If I could ask this, it would be much more natural to me. So in this case, I know that it's an important feature because I have the analytics of my app and I know that users make this search a lot. So, okay, let's try a different way and let's start offering this on a voice-first interface. So this is the knowledge from the user that can be very useful from the voice design world.
So you're advocating that we look at analytics and the knowledge we have about whether it's personas or user studies or however you know information about your users and identifying some of those key experiences. So when you've identified some of these key experiences, how do you evaluate their worthiness for voice?
Yeah, I think the main key here is test and validate idea with real users. Because as the developers or designers, in general, we used to rely on ourselves or our modules. And these, in general, they are not the reality because we can be like geek safe, so or have users, and it's important to say, okay, I think this feature is important, and based on my experience, so I'm a designer, I'm a developer, I will design this kind of interaction. Then if it's possible, I think it's vital. You should have real users, so you can have a beta program or you can invite some very active users to try this new feature. Because, of course, you can simulate, you can do UX study cases, but I think nothing's better to validate than testing with your real users. So users that already use it to use your mobile app or your web app, and invite them to try a voice experience. It's okay. Imagine you are asking to my app how to do something, and then try to get this information out. Because if you give some tips like, okay, I have this information, you can ask this kind of question, you are kind of driving the user. So I like the idea of letting the user try by themselves to identify the problem, to identify the question, and use their natural language.
When we think about our users, we tend to think of somebody who's got some experience already. So let's kind of assume that this is somebody who's been a user of your application in the past. I like the member points or maybe flight points example for a moment, because when you think about purchasing a flight or going through the process of figuring out what are the most common things that someone will do as an airline app, there's a couple of them that would stand out, right? You're going to be booking flights, you're going to be checking in, you're going to be maybe looking at your membership points. Maybe you're looking for customer service, FAQs, or phone numbers, things like that. So the problem is that some of those things may not be as valuable in voice. So trying them out with your users is good. Do you have any tips for things that might not be as strong for voice when you think about maybe there's top five features that happen in your mobile app, but maybe they don't always transfer?
Good question, by the way. So, because if you think about an airline application, probably booking a flight or searching for a flight is a very common, maybe top five. So, but if we think about the mobile experience, the web experience, it's already overwhelming, right? You have the flight duration, layover, number of stops, price, arrival time, departure time. So you have a lot of information, and each of us can have a different choices. So I want to arrive earlier, I want to leave later. So this sounds like a not very good experience for voice, because imagine the number of questions you have to do to your user, and imagine how this user will be confused by the number of feedbacks you provide. Like, I have five flights departing from San Francisco. The first is 1 p.m. The second is, it's overwhelming. So instead of this is the top three, top first in your application, this sounds like not a very good case for voice. So in my perspective, one thing you should care is the amount of questions or how will be your response to the user's request. If you are overwhelming the user with a lot of questions and feedbacks, probably it's not a good choice. But if you think, for example, let's take the United Airline example. They have a check-in voice interface when you just can do your check-in through voice, totally through voice. So because they already have your information, you are already their user, they have your passport number or your driver's license, everything. So you just ask, okay, check me to the flight to New York. And in a few seconds, you are checking in through voice. So these are different cases from the same app, and one shouldn't be in voice and the other have a great performance on voice.
Yeah, I really like the differentiation. I think it's probably not the only thing, but maybe the most important consideration from your description is the volume of information or the number of choices that need to be presented in order to achieve an action. And talked with other people in the past, and it's not always a big deal if you have to ask questions and clarifying pieces of information with that experience to achieve a result. But there are diminishing returns on that experience, as well as the ability to peruse, you know, dozens of flight options or just capture all of that information. Think about it. If you're sitting talking to somebody and they're going to start telling you all of the flights they found,
yeah,
you're probably going to be like, just show me the list, right? So think about when you might just want to be able to consume something visually because your brain can't process the amount of information coming in through your ears.
Yeah. And you have also, of course, other points, like if it's a private information, for example, I wouldn't like to have my bank app say my balance loudly to everyone listening to my balance. Or if you are using a relationship app and you're trying to find someone to date, and then app starts, okay, I found a match for you near. So what do you want to do? So this is nothing, maybe it's private life. So also we should take care about privacy and what kind of situations we could expose the user. So we should take care about this as well.
That's really good, because that kind of ties into what things does mobile do better than voice. And privacy is certainly easier to come by because of you can lock things with a pin. You can be sure that the screen is small and only the person holding it can see it. So the experience is a little bit different than having an open mic where your daughter can run in and ask how much money you have, which especially when you have kids, you know, they're going to ask whatever questions you ask. So exactly. Maybe you don't want that.
No, and this is the point, because in my point of view, you don't need to, it's not a war between mobile, web, and voice. I think we have experiences that works better in specific, in a given surface, but it's like we can collaborate and provide to the user overall amazing experience. I like to rephrase the amazing, because reinforce the amazing, because it's very nice when you're doing something on a voice and you can ask something, but when it comes to a private information or it's more detailed, it can point you to your phone or to a mobile site, so you can check with more details. And then if you want, you can return to the voice interface. Like, if it's done seamlessly, it's a perfect world.
When I think of a lot of ideas to build, one of the most challenging things is to think of a voice-only experience that doesn't require or wouldn't be enhanced, I should say. Sometimes it could be a voice-only experience, but would not be better without some web or mobile experience to complement it. And I think of things like just a shopping list, right, for groceries. Mm-hmm. Every voice assistant has this basic list capability, but it's really hard to understand what's on your list if you just ask it to read it back to you, because you've got 50 things on there. You've already forgotten the third item by the time the fifth is read. So
exactly.
Keeping track of that information is really difficult, and knowing when to introduce different surfaces or different device capabilities, I think is really crucial in deciding how you're going to build your experiences.
And just to, for example, you gave a very good example, because the shopping list thing, it's very useful to use the voice when you want to add something to the list, because I know I like to cook, so sometimes I'm preparing something and I realize that my olive oil is ending. So I want to order more. So I say, okay, Google, add olive oil to my shopping list. And okay, because this was easy, it was fast. But then when I prefer to do the shopping by myself than using an express service. It's something my old school. So I arrive at the supermarket, I don't want my assistant reading my shopping list loudly. So I prefer to check on my phone and then click when I found, and okay. Or for example, I could ask, okay, how many eggs I have on my shop list? This is a kind of experience that I want to ask this, because maybe holding something on my hand, I can check my phone, but I can ask for a specific question. No, we have difference. Okay, if I want to see my whole list, I would use my phone. But if I want to check the quantity of something, I could ask instead of checking the application. So this is a good example where we can mix the experience and have a complement, one complementing the other.
So it makes me wonder a little bit, thinking about a mobile app developer trying to get into this space and think about how to build these complementary experiences. So you mentioned like the United app that they only did a subset of things. So is there a case or should people consider building as many of the functionality so that it works in both modalities? Like maybe I do want it to start reading me the list because my hands are not free, as you mentioned. Mm-hmm. Is it possible that you want to go ahead and build the option for it, even if it's not the main use case?
Exactly. For example, I think this is a good way for mobile web developers starting on the voice world. So I like to say, let's imagine a hero feature. So something that's a feature that can be performed better or easier by voice. So like we said, reading the list or checking the quantity of a list or checking the loyalty points or maybe locating a store in the shopping mall, branch locator. You can pick one or two or three or whatever you want, but pick some features that you can start playing, like trying these features and see how the users are reacting to this feature. And then you can improve in this feature or even adding more features on top of your assistant. And then you can keep going and keep adding more intents, more actions, whatever you want.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of people describe, make sure your app does one thing really well versus 10 things mediocre or poorly.
Yes.
And even if you have an existing mobile experience, starting with a subset of key things that work really well with voice is, I think, important. And you can always let people know, hey, I'm currently unable to help you with that, maybe in the future. And that gets logged and you can track that in your analytics. But knowing that the experience that people are used to in the mobile app won't go away, then you can add functionalities to the voice experience slowly over time. And that may eventually build into some new things, but by and large, you'll be supplementing what already exists.
Yeah.
And you can do that piecemeal.
Yeah, and this is the point because I'm considering that we are talking, for example, with some people that are not already experts on voice design or voice development. So this is a good start because at some point, this developer, this designer will become an expert. And because of this experience, this previous experience and exercise, this developer, this designer will be able to create voice-only feature because now it has expertise, he's observing the users, he's identifying the use cases, and then become an expert. And of course, for example, don't forget to, every time as possible, check the history. Whatever platform you're using, Google or another platform, in general, it's platforms, they have a history of queries, of commands, of phrases that didn't match with any intent. So check this history. Check if, for example, what your user trying to say to your action that you are not matching. Maybe you can get some insights from there. Like, okay, my user is asking this question constantly and I'm not handling. So I think I should start thinking about design a new feature, probably.
Yeah, that's really great. And, analytics are always important. And thinking, I think, for people who build mobile apps wanting to get into the space, it's often like, I want to build this thing that either replaces my app or it's a brand new thing. It's just a standalone. But the reality is a lot of these experiences will probably take the shape of supplementary experiences to what already exists in the mobile app. And starting small and simple, getting good design from the ground up, rather than trying to go full blast into a huge app that can do a whole bunch of stuff that most likely will struggle to accomplish the actual goal.
Yeah, exactly.
So one last topic, I think, before we kind of wrap up here, I wanted to talk a little bit about when you go from mobile to voice, you lose the screen, but then there's voice devices like the new smart display from Google or the Echo Show, or even your assistants that have visual apps on your phone, if you're using them through the phone, they have screens that give you some capabilities to utilize real estate in different ways. So we talk about how you lose the screen, but then actually in some cases you're going to have it back. So what's the unique qualities of those screens and how do they relate to what people are used to building in mobile apps?
Yeah, this is a very interesting thing to think about it, right? Because we were talking about losing screen and now we have many devices with screens. But if you think, even on this device where we have a screen, you are using the screen a different way. Let's get back to the book a flight sample. So if you are using our web, you have to input your departure airport, the where you're going to, where you want to go, the date, etc. And then you have a list of flights, airports, whatever. But imagine if I can use a smart display. I could start my conversation by voice, say, okay, I want to travel from San Francisco to New York on September 15. What are the flights available? And then I can show this information on a smart display. But the difference is I won't navigate through the selection of many things. I can just provide an input. I can click or tap one of the options. So even if we have a screen, the usage of this screen is different because it's more to provide feedback and to receive punctual inputs. It's not for navigate through a web navigation or through a deep mobile flow. So I think they're very good to provide feedback, to provide images, to provide you some substantial information about what you want to achieve. But you have to keep in mind that it's not the common user interaction. It's more to receive inputs and some punctual feedbacks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the whole screen displays within assistants requires a whole episode of its own. Sure. But I think about using one in the kitchen, I might be staring at the pantry, seeing what I have and start asking questions like, do you have any recipes that have rice? Or I start looking at what's in my pantry. I may be able to glance over, but I may still be only doing voice, mm-hmm. even though I have a screen available, or it's pointed the wrong way, or I'm too far, or yeah. Just because there's a screen doesn't mean I want to touch it because I might be cooking, so my hands might be dirty. I don't want to touch a screen.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah, just sometimes you just want to see some feedback and not necessarily tap or navigate because I want to see the recipe and I would like to see the sequence, how to cut or how to mix the things. So it's great to see the recipe, but I don't want to touch because my hands are dirty or I'm doing a video conference. Maybe I can talk with people, but I don't want to chat, to type anything. So I can keep talking and see the image, for example. So you have mm-hmm. different applications.
Awesome. So we're going to wrap up the episode with our endpoint detection segment, where we're going to start off by taking a look at the top takeaway. So what do you think the top thing or two things to take away from today's episode are?
Yeah, I think integrating these multiple channels, like we said, mobile, web, and the voice, I think it's a key thing if you are looking to develop a winning experience for the users. So design a good voice experience, but think how you can have it complemented by your web experience, by your app experience.
Yeah, I agree. That's one of the biggest things. Traditionally as a web developer myself, I started thinking about how can I marry these things together into a better experience than just a one-off voice experience. You know, there's some things that work really well, right? There's playing music, of course, or interfacing with your smart home devices. A lot of those things are easy to do with voice. There's so many things that are richer and deeper if you can integrate those multiple channels or devices. And so that sometimes I can pull out my phone and turn the lights on. Sometimes I can just use a switch on the side of the room.
Exactly.
Other times I can use my voice. Like, I have options.
Exactly. Yeah. And the other thing I think is designing voice UI that works, not just copying your feature. Okay, yeah, this feature is good, so I just will like translate to a voice world. Maybe when you are designing a voice feature, you have to do some adaptations, and of course some you have to change the way you think. So design a voice interface that works, it's maybe a challenge when you are moving from mobile, from the web. So pay attention.
Great. So a couple final questions here, just general questions about your experiences. So have you had a bad experience recently that was related to voice that just stood out to you as something that probably should have been designed differently?
Yeah, something that bothers me sometimes is when I ask for example, for some restaurant and then I can give a clear answer because it's not understanding what I'm saying because I'm not a native English speaker. So maybe you realize, but sometimes this lack of recognition on speech is still bothering me sometimes. So it keep asking me the same thing or repeating the question. So this is something I think we are improving, but which would be much better.
Mm-hmm. I gave a talk when I was trying to help people think about ways to simulate situations where speech is not as clearly understood as a native speaker who's standing directly in front of a device, speaking clearly into it, and doing things like try it while you're in the shower or have somebody who's not a native speaker come in or who has an accent and see what it understands. And then if you do that a few times, you can actually notice from your analytics some potential mismatches that you could actually capture if you do the analytics and testing ahead of time. So sometimes you can account for that at the app level and not just wait for the speech recognition software that is part of the assistant platform or the Alexa platform to figure it out for you.
Sure. Because for example, they recognize what I'm saying, but maybe the way I phrase, because for example, I'm Brazilian, so I changed some words, the place of some words. So if you are training phrases, if your application is not prepared, even the assistant identified my words, probably you won't deliver the right thing to me. So it's very important. Very, very good. Very good point.
What's a good experience you've seen or an interesting app you've used recently?
Well, do you know, I'm using some, for example, I'm learning English. Trying to improve my English, and I have some grammar actions on our directory. So get helps me to check my grammar or check some words that I don't know, improving my vocabulary. So I like these actions that use the voice to teach things to the people.
I just did an interview with someone doing Spanish lessons instead of English lessons. But yeah, they were using the assistant to try and provide some language learning, which was an interesting episode. So you'll have to check that one out.
Yeah, sure.
And what kind of resources do you have or recommend for people who are trying to learn design?
Yeah, sure. For sure, the first thing I have to recommend is our website for developers, where we have an entire session dedicated for designers and for designing conversation. So please check out actions.google.com. Then you have a session totally focused on design conversation. It's great. But also I am one of those that prefers sometimes to read books. So I bought recently some books and I'm loving to read them. One is Designing Voice User Interfaces from Kathy Pearl. She's a Googler as well. She joined our team recently, but the book is very good. Also, we have Wired for Speech, How Voice Activates and Advances the Human Perception. It's very good. And the last one I would like to highlight here is related to what we talk between that design for different surfaces. There is a book called Designing Across Senses that focus on how we have to design a product to meet some requirements that will work on different surfaces, on different senses, like vision, hearing, voice, and whatever.
Awesome. I'll make sure to link to those in the show notes at designforvoice.com so you can find links to those as well. And we had Kathy on as she was the first episode. And yeah, her book is definitely a wonderful resource. So. Yeah. All right, to wrap it up, what can people or where can people go to learn more about you and what you're doing?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter, so it's the best place to talk with me. I used to reply as soon as I can. So it's at Neto Marin. It's in Portuguese, so it's NETOMARIN. I'm sure Jeremy will link on the post so you can find it. Please reach me out. Yes. Let's talk. I'm open to answer your questions. I love to discuss, to talk with developers. This is my job. This is my passion. So feel free to reach me out there.
Excellent. Well, thank you again for joining me today and talking about transitioning with UI and Vue. VUI, trying to merge these experiences together. So thank you very much.
And thanks for having me here. It was a pleasure to be part of the show. Thank you very much.
All of the show notes are available on designforvoice.com. And if you enjoyed the show, please rate it and subscribe with your favorite podcast player.